State Representative Elizabeth Scott joins me. She represents OSO in the Washington State Legislature. Elizabeth, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, John.
And I know that you spent several days in Darrington. You told me something very interesting that really underscores the spirit of the people, your constituents there. The Red Cross came in and they set up a temporary lodging center in the school gym, which doubles as a community center. They put up 30 cots or so for people who needed a place to stay. But for several days now, no one's used them because the people of Darrington have taken them into their own homes.
That's right, John. It's my understanding that only one or two of those cots was used on the first night, Saturday night of a week ago. And since then, they've just sat there.
How about that?
It's a wonderful testament to the strong community spirit of Darrington. They just said, no, you're not going to sleep on some army cot. You come home with me.
Tell us the story about Mayor Rankin there from Darrington, who's really emerging as a hero here simply because he just rolled up his sleeves and says, we got to do the following. Let's just do it. And we'll worry about filling out all the forms and the bureaucracy later.
That's right. And I'm really glad that Mayor Dan Rankin is getting some good coverage now. That's the real story here. And first of all, I do want to thank all the first responders who responded on both sides of the disaster, the Arlington side and the Darrington side. And I mean, they really stepped up and did everything that they possibly could right away. But I think the real story here is the courage, and determination of the people of the Stillaguamish Valley. And Mayor Dan personifies that so well. He is just a get-her-done kind of guy. And so when frustrations were mounting up, and by the way, you mentioned I'd been up there. Yes, I first got there on Sunday afternoon, and I spent time every day there all the way up until the following Saturday. So anyway, Mayor Dan really, because the town was frustrated, they wanted to get out and help, and because they're loggers, they had the equipment and the knowledge and the expertise to go help. He finally said, well, you know what, we're done waiting for permission from the Arlington side of operations, and he said, let's just move forward. So they did. He put out a call to get people who rounded up, who could drive and who could donate large trucks and excavators, road graders, that type of thing. And within half an hour, they started rolling in. And within a couple hours, they had 8 or 9 excavators up on Power Line Ridge and started building, shoring up that basically dirt path. Grassy path shorted up to a gravel road so that emergency teams could have better access to the site.
In other words, he turned a dirt path that paralleled Highway 530 that the locals knew about that a lot of the others did not. He said,
right,
we're going to turn that into a road, do whatever it takes, because that way we can more rapidly get equipment and supplies and responders to the scene.
That's right. And not only that, but that because that road parallels Highway 530, they actually made a connection so that the broken pieces of 530 were now connected so that people could go back and forth between Arlington and Darrington. So, for example, if someone gets injured on that work site, now they can rapidly be transported to a hospital in Arlington.
You just got to love this guy. I love
great.
That can-do spirit.
Yeah,
he got all the loggers. Just, let's go,
Yeah, that's it. And, they have a saying in Darrington that I've learned. It's logger up. And so.
And they're not talking about beer.
No, it's L-O-G-G-E-R. And it's so heartwarming to hear them cheer each other on with this phrase. One example, on Friday night, Mayor Dan Rankin was getting choked up in his kind of final speech of the evening at the nightly town halls, and he got all choked up, and he says, well, here I go again, and a man yells out from the bleachers, logger up, And he laughed, and everybody else laughed, and he said, okay, with a good, strong voice, and continued the rest of his speech.
Do you know why the estimates of missing went down so drastically? I mean, it was such a welcome piece of news that the 90 missing and feared dead had become 30 missing, and now 22, and that number might continue to go down.
I don't know the complete story, but I do know pieces of it. At the very beginning, you'll remember it was, you know, over 100 suspected missing, and that was because people were submitting any names of people that they couldn't find or hadn't been able to track down. So there were people who were, I don't know, out of town at a game or whatever, and their relatives were just worried and having trouble tracking them down. There were also duplicate names. So, for example, you know, if there was a John Smith and a Johnny Smith, it showed up twice. So they had to weed through some
right.
of those.
Or now, maybe, you know, maiden names and the like.
Right.
Yeah.
So the drop from the 90 to 30, I don't know what happened there. I haven't been privy to those conversations.
All right. Well, no, I'm just, again, anytime you have a story like this, that is such good news to hear.
Oh, it's wonderful news.
Now, you
right.
had been critical. You clearly, the frustration poured out a week ago, I think Tuesday or Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
Over the response. And there was a little bit of pushback coming from the State National Guard and media people about, you know, armchair quarterbacks and the like, even though you weren't in an armchair, you were there in Darrington. And so what were you, do you defend your take on things then? And you clearly have seen a change since.
Right. So let me give a bit more explanation, because you know how sometimes they just take one sentence out of context in the newspaper.
Sure.
So I was never critical of the first responders. My criticisms were directed at the county level, which had decided to base operations out of Arlington, even though, and it really was kind of two areas because of the split of 530. The Darrington side was ordered to wait for authority or command from Arlington before moving forward. And so on the Darrington side, the first responders, and let's be clear here, these are volunteer firefighters. They're well-trained. They know the area very well. And a lot of them are loggers or come from logging backgrounds. So, you know, they've been well-trained. Plus, the fire chief in Darrington has given multiple CERT classes. So a lot of the citizens of Darrington really were well-equipped to be first responders. So they were told to mobilize, then stand down, then mobilize, then stand down. And then, you know, even over the next 48 hours, they were told not to be building that road that Mayor Dan wanted to build. And Mayor Dan just finally said, no, we're going to build it. And over the course of a night, they worked all night, then the next day, then all the next night. And over the course of that, say, 36 hours, you know, towards the end of it, finally, from the county authorities, they said, okay, go ahead and build the road. Meanwhile, they were like two-thirds of the way done before that decision came. So I think one of the lessons to be learned here is that in a major disaster, if certain areas are cut off from certain areas, each area should have its own chain of authority with, you know, the ability to make critical decisions.
You know, it kind of reminds me of that scene in the movie Patton, when Patton had rolled his Third Army into Messina, Italy, and he was kind of having a rivalry with the Allied commander from Britain, General Montgomery, and Allied headquarters cabled Patton as he was celebrating the taking of Messina that he is not to go into Messina. And he said, cable them back and ask if I should give them Messina back. should we disassemble the road we just built? Well, good for Mayor Rankin.
Right. So he really should be held up and just cheered. They should make a statue of the guy someday.
However, I do have to ask, why wouldn't they want a road built where that dirt path was paralleling 530 when they clearly needed a means of getting equipment and supplies and people there more quickly.
Well, again, John, I wasn't privy to those conversations, so I don't know. There were two separate, you know, distinctly different conversations going on, it appears, in Darrington and Arlington. And in Darrington, the people moved, you know, themselves up to the ridge where the power line road is to look down and to use that as kind of a base. And they went down to visit, you know, the homes that were flooded there and washed up, and they were retrieving things as they could, and they were, you know, they were working safely and in teams and making sure to keep an eye on each other and, you know, warning the younger teenagers not to set foot in the mud, which was so dangerous. And, you know, they were finding bodies there even on Sunday afternoon while Representative Christensen and I were there with them. But the authorities didn't reach that spot. Now they are using that spot as their base because there's so much wreckage there.
Let me ask you, you know, the death toll stands at 28. There are 22 people still listed as missing. That number has been coming down. Do you have a guesstimate about how many more bodies you think they're going to find there, Elizabeth? I'm talking to Elizabeth Scott, state representative for OSO, who's been on top of what's happening there since Sunday a week ago. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, I hate to be too graphic because there might be kids in the car, but all the bodies aren't complete, so we may find that there are additional victims.
It's expected there'll be additional victims, and no, we have given that kind of macabre news that the tsunami, as I call it, the mud tsunami, hit with such force and destructive power.
It really,
if cars were broken
really
apart, you don't think people
are? A massive landslide with a mud tsunami because of the river that it picked up as it came.
Yeah, mudslide just doesn't do it for me. Yeah.
No.
Anyway, State Representative Scott, thanks very much for joining us. Anything you want to add?
No, just that I'm so proud to be representing this district. I mean, the way that the people come together, it's just incredible. It's been incredibly inspiring.
It has been inspiring to watch just the way people have stepped forward to make things happen. And I appreciate some of the things going behind the headlines that you're letting our listeners know about, too. It's great for them to know. State Representative Elizabeth Scott, thanks for being here on the Commute with Carlson Talk Radio 570 KVI this morning.
You bet. Thanks.
And when we come back, you know, every once in a while, an April Fool's Day prank kind of backfires. And boy, did this prank ever backfire. Wait until you hear about it coming right up on the Commute with Carlson. Also, supposedly the Obama administration has been very aggressive in deporting people in the country illegally. The truth behind those numbers from United States Senator Jeff Sessions, and not only are the numbers not accurate, they're designed to fool people.